Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Artificial intelligence generated version of my voice before we started recording. It was so funny, so I wanted to leave it in the show, but wanted you to know what was happening so you didn't think it was a mistake. Also, this entire intro that you're listening to right now was created with my artificial intelligence generated voice. Kind of creepy, right? Here you go.
Cello.
One sec.
Yep, no problem. I'm gonna get my virtual background up. Oh, it's already there. It's already there.
Can you hear me?
I can. You sound a little different.
I still have this cold.
Oh my God, no. How do I sound? Do I sound okay?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you literally sound like we just got into a fight as a couple, and it's like, I'm asking you if you're okay, and you're like, I'm fine.
Sorry.
I just teasing you.
My camera won't turn on.
The fuck?
How do I sound?
You know, I mean, I think I need to hear you kind of consistently, because maybe it'll help seeing you, because right now you sound a little garbled, but I can't tell if it's maybe just have a cold. Do you want to restart the Zoom so the video works? Maybe that's it.
One second. Can you see me at all?
Sorry, what'd you say?
Can you see me at all?
I can't see you, no. I can just see your thumbnail.
Okay, one sec.
Okay, hen. Don't worry.
Okay, I think I have it.
Oh, you sound better now.
Okay, cool. Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Okay, so actually...
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I just had to adjust my video. Actually, I don't have to for NMR.
Did you get a haircut?
I did. Do you like it?
I do.
Okay, so actually what I was doing was using my AI voice to talk to you.
That's why you sounded weird, because I was like, great, but yeah. You don't sound bad.
I appreciated that you were sweet and not saying that I sound like an idiot, because I was trying to type everything to say it back into the microphone, but you were like so quick and on your feet about stuff, and I was like, oh, she's good at this. Yeah, so that's the first thing I wanted to bring up, was AI voice on the show today. Welcome to NMR, like, everybody.
I was like, why are you taking so long to respond to me?
Respond.
I was
he's
doing something. He's stressed.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was trying to be like, I was like, maybe she'll go for it if I sound stressed or something.
Are we keeping that in the show? Because maybe we
should. Yeah, let's keep it. Yeah, that's okay. What I wanted to start with. So, guys, welcome to NMR.
Welcome.
Darren, usually you start, or wait, I start NMR usually, don't we?
Well, yeah. I mean, given we've only done one of these, it's probably hard to remember. But yeah,
That's right.
You start NMR.
A tough one.
And I do the main case.
And I'll say this too. Usually, you know, Darren and I jump on and we talk a little bit, and then I click record. We kiki
right.
A little bit.
You recorded immediately, which was jarring.
Yeah, that was jarring. But I wanted to see if I could get you, and I kind of did, but you knew what something was up. You knew something was up. Yeah.
Well, I was like, I don't know if I can do the whole Well, you had a cold. Let's just say everyone.
I know that was the other thing.
You had a bad cold, and then I was like, I don't know if we should do if your video is not working.
Right. You know. Right. Right. Right.
Right. Even though people definitely just black out your camera just to look at me.
They do. They cover me up. That's fine. Yeah.
Also, NMR isn't usually on video.
There's that too.
But I was like, why is he taking so long? And then I was like, in my mind, my thought process was,
yeah,
I don't know if we can record him sounding like that just because it sounded a little garbled. And I was like, oh, that might not be fun. And then the second thing I was thinking was like, he's probably so busy at his job. He's like probably doing three
now
things.
I feel bad. Yeah.
So I don't want to like, I was like, take your time, babe. Like, don't worry about it. I do this to you constantly. Like literally I am always keeping John on his toes with like my schedule. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to be patient. Yeah. Like everything's cool, you know? So I'm glad you're okay and not an AI robot, though.
I'm not an AI robot this week. Next week, who knows? AI's moving so fast. But the thing that I did, by the way, I did this on my iPhone. I want to just tell everybody about this. There's this new feature called personal speech or something like that. And it's an accessibility feature. I'll link a video in the show notes for anybody who wants to see how to do it. But basically, you go into your accessibility settings, and it has you record your voice 150 different prompts. And overnight, it takes like hours. It takes all of your voice recordings and creates
A live the prompts would be like, I want to get into the car today.
It's but literally yes.
Do you have to say it like excitable? Like, oh my God, we're getting in the car today. Or, oh, we're getting in the car today. Like, do you have to say it with different tones?
It doesn't prompt you with your tone at all. It just says, read these things. But by virtue of the sentences that they create, your natural inflection comes out in it. Cause like, it'll ask you to ask questions. It'll ask you to read numbers and dates. Those things are kind of have a natural cadence to them. It kind of took forever. I got to like the 60th prompt and I was like, okay, did I get in too far? Yeah, I might be done here. But the other thing was I recorded it a couple of days ago. By the way, I got a cold again, as Darren mentioned. More on that in a minute. But my voice
that reminds me of to add to the NMR of what we were voice noting each other the other night.
Oh, we should talk about that. Yes. Yeah. And, so anyway, I was like, the whole reason I was doing it, by the way, this is weeks in the making, is to try to prank Darren here on the show. And I could say I got away with it a little bit, but, let's just put it this way. You didn't immediately think it wasn't me, which I think is a win.
No, it sounded like you. Like, that's the thing. It sounded like you, but it wasn't as clear. And so in terms of, if you had like called me on the phone, I would have been fine. But
or
because it
person,
was like a, because if it was a recording, I would have been like, this doesn't sound good for a recording, but it sounds like you mixed with the cold. You know what I mean? But you know, this is interesting because I think you bring this up, and I think for the past 2 years, maybe since ChatGPT, Bard, whatever the fuck, whatever the fuck is out there. I would say the past 2 years, I want to say maybe there's been more of a craze about it.
Yeah,
and people were just like so worried, this and that. And, you know, like I think now as we're implementing it more into our life, I mean, certainly ChatGPT is great for being like, give me 10, like sometimes I'll need to think of prompts, like fill in the blank prompts if I'm doing a game. And I'll be like, give me 10 fill in the blank prompts about basketball. It just like helps my thinking process. But I think ultimately, at least for now, what we have determined, and people have been so fucking crazy about, you know, AI getting rid of jobs, which I actually think is good, eventually going to be a good thing. Technology does this and then it creates more jobs for more people. You know what I mean? Like factory workers and stuff, like machines have taken a lot of that labor out. But I find that it's just not as creative as human beings. I mean, I think that you can recreate your voice, right? Your inflection as best as possible, but it's never going to be as quick or really know how you'd answer something. And I think when you type something in, if we were like, write us a script for a podcast about Ted Bundy in the style of Martinis and Murder, Shaken and Disturbed, or whatever maybe it has the algorithm for, I'm not confident it would give us good bones, but I'm not confident it would be as good or even better than what you and I would do and what Megan would do. I'm not sold on that idea yet. I think it's like a helpful tool, but I don't think it's the only tool. I don't think it's like replacing humanity, at least not yet.
Not yet. I mean, here's the other thing. I work at Carnegie Mellon University. It is the leader in AI development.
It's Carnegie.
I say Carnegie. I don't know exactly. That's a whole thing at work too, because people are saying Carnegie.
Right, because it's Carnegie. Like Carnegie Hall.
Yeah. It could be that. I don't know. Okay, guys. I just started. Okay, let me live. But it, you know, the computer science that's happening there is the leading. It's one of the leading universities on AI. So I hear about AI all day long, to be honest with you. And I use I use ChatGPT, a version of it called Copilot, which is what Microsoft makes, which is kind of the same thing. But
I also imagine at a college, it's probably a big deal, because then you're like, give me a paper on Moby Dick in 800 words or whatever the fuck it is. You being an English major, after all, I'm sure you had to write thousands and thousands and thousands of words. Like, then I might be a little bit more, you know, but again, like, how many different ways can you write an 800 page or 800 word essay on Moby Dick that I couldn't put it into an algorithm and be like, John is using ChatGPT here?
Well, that's true too. Yeah. There are ways to scan, apparently, that type of stuff. But what I was going to say is that with AI, I agree with you. It, like, one of the things I said, especially like as I was interviewing for this position that I'm in, is that AI is very similar to the calculator. Math didn't stop happening when the calculator was made. Mathematicians didn't disappear.
It's they an used aid. It to their advantage.
Right. Exactly. And they learned better math. And now we're learning algebra and geometry in high school.
Exactly. I think people get so scared and then they freak out that there's actually like a lot of benefits, and it might actually make people's lives a lot more easy. You know, I was talking to some lawyers recently, a good friend, Darren, his boyfriend is a lawyer. And he has to do this big case, and he was talking to me about it. And he's like, there's over a million document, like over a million pages of documents.
Oh my God.
And he's like, ChatGPT and these types of things help weed out the important information, because it's impossible to read all of these briefs. And so in that way.
Yeah, that it helps for lawyers. There you go.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. Does that mean it will be that way forever? It's too early to tell. I mean, remember, one of the things I love to talk about is the early days of the internet, when Katie Couric was on the Today Show with Bryant Gumbel, and I think it was Katie.
That's early days.
I know, like literally, I'm talking mid 90s, where one of them is like, "Have you what is the internet? What do we call the internet?
What's that?
Symbol here? Yeah, exactly. And
an
so
email.
You know, those two sitting in that chair could never have imagined AI on a telephone, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much we can't even fathom right now. So anyway, that's my point. I think AI is good. Will it uproot and change a lot of things? Absolutely. And that's a bridge that I think a lot of people are going to need to cross, and it's going to be probably catastrophic for a lot of industries. But
originally, right? But then, like, things do change. I mean, like, think about the industries that were around 50 years ago that aren't around today. I mean, automating things has helped, because then it frees up other people to do other things that are requiring human labor.
And like, you think about like what we are learned, what you and I learned in elementary, middle, and high school, Darren, is now going to be very different than what a sixth grader today is probably going to learn. Because with AI comes new, like you were just saying, new needs and new industries and a new job market in a sense as well. I mean, you know, I hate to use the coal reference, but it really is very similar in that, you know, just because, you know, we moved away from coal as a society doesn't mean that those people coming up behind those coal miners won't have jobs. They just went to different places for those jobs. Now, this is not to disparage. Now, listen, I'm from Western Maryland, coal mining area. I went to WVU, coal mining area. I live in Pittsburgh, coal mining area, the Appalachians is all for that. That is not to say there weren't major significant problems and generational divisions that happened as a result of that. But as a whole, as a society, we do have to adapt to those types of things coming up. So,
well, it also makes me think, and I want to talk to you a little about your Tesla, because my dad informed me that last week, everyone who owns a Tesla gets a full 1 month free trial of FSD, which is full self-driving.
That's right.
And which, you know, normally costs an extra, I want to say $15,000. It's like an add-on. Maybe it's 12. It used to be 10.
I think now it's 15. Check and see what it is.
Yeah. But, you know, I was talking to a few friends about this. I was talking to Nadine about this, and she was like, what do you think about FSD? I was like, I think it's great. You know, when everyone's like, yeah, but, you know, you're losing control. And I said, okay. But let's say, right, like 10 people, this is obviously a very low number. I'm just giving it in mathematical terms. Let's say 10 people a day die in driving accidents or drunk driving accidents or this and that. But with full self-driving, maybe 7 people do, right? You still are going to get deaths, but you're going to get a dramatic you're going to get 30% less. You know what I mean? And listen, I think the numbers are still, I think, you know, it's still too early and we're figuring it out. But I think people are very scared, lack of control at first. You know, flying seems fucking nuts and this and that. But I do encourage people to think about like the benefits once we get over that hump, because people are like, well, there's accidents. And I'm like, right, but think of how many accidents happen every single day with human error, way more than are happening with full self-drive. And obviously there's not enough in terms of the numbers to compare. You know, it's a little apples and oranges because so few people probably have FSD in their Teslas compared to the people of Teslas. But regardless, my point is that like, I think people should stop viewing things so negatively and actually think about it a little bit more from the positive realm. I think it's okay to be skeptical. I don't think it's okay necessarily to just be a cynic about everything because it's different, because it could really be better.
And also people that are cynics about this stuff don't have the data. I mean,
or have the car. They don't have the car. And right. I need to know how it is. And if
well, let me tell
it
you.
Out and yeah, tell
you
us.
Are so right. And I think that your number that you give 7 out of 10 is not even, it's not even close to that. Like, I think it's like,
right.
Less than
2 out of 10, 1 out of 10.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
exactly. But it just gets news headlines and people are like, oh, exactly. It's so unsafe. There's, and I'm like, not every drunk driving accident is getting the news. You know, it's frustrating.
Totally.
It's frustrating.
That's a really good point, actually. Yeah. I mean, the thing about Tesla, listen, Elon Musk aside and all the politics and drama that come with him, the reality is there have been millions upon millions of hours of testing and driving right. of this stuff. It's not like they were like, here's a cool, this isn't iOS 17 that has bugs
right,
that are going to.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Like,
you're
go
not
off and
gonna
do what you want. You know, eat a sandwich while you're driving. You still have to pay attention.
And
you
people,
know?
The layperson doesn't understand that. And I'm not saying I'm somebody who's like above any of it. I just pay attention to technology. You know, I love that type of stuff. So, you know, I'm aware of what went into making this happen. And I've seen it on YouTube. And then now, finally, to your point, I enabled it in my car. And I will tell
you.
Now, I did have, I think it's called enhanced autopilot. That comes standard in every Tesla. And basically what that is when you are in cruise control. If you're in cruise control, typically you do that on a highway. It will drive itself for you. It won't change lanes. It won't do
it
other things.
It keeps your speed, essentially.
Yeah, it keeps your
keeps,
speed in right, the lane. Exactly.
Right, right.
So I was already used to that. And when I turned that on for the first time, I was very like nervous. I was like, oh my God, my car's, you see the steering wheel move and it's like, what's happening?
But you need to touch the steering wheel every
like 15
minute
seconds.
Or every 15 seconds, right? They yes. map it. So it's like, you don't have to have necessarily two hands, but they need to show that you're paying the fuck attention.
Correct. Every 15 okay. seconds, you get a notification to either jiggle the wheel or there's a button on the actual steering wheel that you can adjust, like the volume or something, and it'll qualify for that, which means that you have to be paying very close attention.
You're not napping. Right.
You're not napping, which is what happened when whenever they first did this. There were people literally videos of people like laid back in their chair sleeping on the highway. That's ridiculous. Anyway, so that's enhanced autopilot. But what they enabled, like Darren just said last week, or actually for me, it was this week, but maybe it was last week.
It could have been earlier this week.
Is the full self-driving. You put in Darren's address into your navigation. It shows you the map and you start going. Okay. I was so nervous because I live in Pittsburgh. I don't know if anyone is listening who's ever driven in Pittsburgh. The roads here are very strange. It is like nothing I have ever experienced in my life. There are zigzagging, swirling.
There's bridges everywhere.
Imagine throwing a bunch of spaghetti from a pot onto a plate. Imagine each strand of spaghetti is a road. That's how the Pittsburgh road system looks like, okay?
Still sick, baby.
Yeah, exactly. So I was a little nervous that like it wasn't going to pick up on like where the lanes are even, because for some reason I can't always find the lane in Pittsburgh. And there's lots of little like cement dividers that kind of aren't obvious. So you have to be watching this. So anyway, I finally gained some courage the other day, a couple days into this. It was like a day there wasn't a lot of traffic where I was. I was like, okay, let me just like navigate home and see what happens. I will tell you, to your point, Darren, you were saying a second ago, you know, people think that you're not paying attention or whatever, there may be accidents. I can tell you without a doubt that full self-driving is way more safer than a human being.
Yes, it is.
There are so many things that your car is calculating all around you, 360 degrees, not just what you're seeing in front of you.
It's a computer.
It's AI. I mean, it's not technically AI, but it's an algorithm that's viewing not just around your car, but for several blocks in front of you. By the way, it's brought up on your screen so you can see how it's mapped every single thing in front of you and around you. And it was shocking how great it was. Okay, so let me give this one last example. So I was coming home from my haircut last night. Thank you very much. Got a new do. Tune in on Sunday if you want to watch it on and see my new haircut on YouTube. And okay, so I'm on the highway. I'm using full self-driving. Again, I'm a little more used to it at this point because, like I said, I had enhanced autopilot, so it was just more comfortable. But like I said, it changes lanes for you as well. So if you're behind a car that's going too slow from the speed limit, or it's even if it's acting strange, I've noticed, like if it's veering in and out of the lane, my car will move out of the way and speed past it and get in front of it.
Love
which
it.
That alone is crazy. So last night I have it on. I'm behind this car. I see I have about 2 or 3 miles to my exit, which that's another thing. I was like, is it going to know like where the exit is and like go off of the exit? Stay tuned for that in a second. And the car in front of me was like going like 10 under the speed limit, but I wasn't even noticing that. I was just trying to like focus on the road. Like I didn't even really notice what my speed was. And I notice my car puts the blinker on. I start moving. I'm not touching the wheel. And I'm like, oh, this is weird. And it goes to the left far driving lane. Passes the car to the right. I'm looking at the speedometer. I'm now at the I think it was like 65 or whatever miles per hour. And then it kind of overtakes the car and comes back over into that center lane. I was like, oh, that was amazing. I love that. So then I'm driving. And then,
you set how fast it goes? Like, can you say 12 miles past the speed limit is okay? So you're okay going 78. 72, whatever it is, 77 miles per hour. If it's 65, like
there's a setting in that when you set it up, that's I forget what it's called, but it basically says something along the lines of following the speed of traffic, the flow of traffic. So it'll take into account the speed limit, but it'll also keep you at a rate that's similar to the other cars around you. So you're not like causing an issue basically.
Right.
So, okay. A couple minutes later, I'm driving. I'm still in that center. I'm not driving. I should be clear. My car's driving me and I'm in that center lane and it's dark, you know, it's darker out. So I'm also a little nervous at this point, but then I'm just, you know, coasting along. Not really. I'm just like kind of taking it all in. My car starts to move again, turns on the left blinker. I'm now over in the right. I was in the right, far left lane. Okay. Just visual here. In the fast lane, if you will. My car puts on its blinker, right blinker. And I'm like, what? I was like, I'm 2 miles from my exit. I have no reason to be moving, but okay. I move over into the middle lane. And as I'm moving into the middle lane, I look into my rearview mirror and there's a car speeding up very quickly behind me. My car noticed it and moved me out of the way. And that car like flew by. Now, normally, think about when this happens to you in actual traffic. You're sort of like, oh, shit, what's this car going to do? Is it going to go
tailgating? Right.
Is it going to tailgate me? Right. Going to go to the right lane, which you shouldn't do if you're that car, and pass me on the right, which is not, you know, a safe thing to do. My car noticed it. I want to say 10 or 11 car lengths behind me and just gently moved me out of the way.
It's insane, man. Like,
and
that's
incredible. So amazing.
Someone who recently passed their written driver's
that's
test,
right. Yes.
I know that the safest thing to do would be get out of the way of tailgaters and move
that's
over
true.
And then you can get back into the lane. But the point is you wouldn't have experienced that until they were right up in your fucking rear
that's
mirror.
That's my point. I was not looking in the mirror.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And even if they were 500 feet behind you or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
You would have checked once and been like, okay, they're behind me. But then all of a sudden, next second, they're right behind you. You know, this
I'm
car
human.
Is going to be able to, right.
Yeah.
You're
human. Now, here's one last thing, because I thought it was so interesting. So I'm finally getting to the exit. I'm in a situation where there's a couple car lengths in front of me, and I have to get off of the exit within a mile. It's now less than a mile, my exit. And I see that there's a car in my right lane kind of blocking me from getting into that right exit lane, you know?
Right.
And normally I'm like, I'm one of those people that like, I get into the far right lane as early as I can. I don't want to miss my exit, whatever. But, I, you know, less than a mile, I'm sweating a little bit. I'm like, I don't know if this car to my right is going to go by. So my car notices that this car is moving a little bit quicker, and it waits until it moves past me. And then it put me into the right turning lane to exit. So like, it's even thinking about the speed of the other car and calculating that it will pass me in time to take that exit. So I mean, then like, it's amazing. So I take the exit. It's a weird stop sign situation. It did it perfectly. Get off. I have literally a 90 degree turn off of the exit to go to my street. That 90 degree angle is at a stoplight. And I was like, oh, this is a little tight. Is it going to know exactly where to go? You know, the lanes aren't clear, super clear here when you take the left. It took the left turn perfectly, stunningly, without any issues. So I'm here to say, this is not to just keep going on and on about Teslas, because I understand not everyone has a Tesla and blah, blah, blah. But the safety concern is the least concern with this car, because it is able to do way more math and calculations at one time than any human brain could do. So it's just reality.
Like a calculator isn't going to get four times three wrong, whereas a human might, you know,
and you kind of have
to think about it like that. Did you happen to watch, I've been a full Tesla person for a while now. My dad has this car now going or 4 years. So
I think your dad and I have the same color and we have a different interior, but same car, I think.
Yeah, he's got white interior, but blue. But I've been an Elon Musk fan and Tesla actually for a while. I'm not including Twitter in this, but did you watch the Don Lemon Elon Musk interview by any chance that was going around the news that was viral?
I saw some clips of it. Don was like really going in on Musk. And then like the next day, Musk fired him from some sort of like thing on X. And then Don was on a press tour about that. I don't know all the details, but seemed kind of
dramatic. You
should
watch it, even though I don't want to give Don Lemon any more views on his channel, because I'm not a big fan of his journalism. And I think the interviewing Elon Musk proves my point of just how kind of bad he is and how people portray Elon to be some, you know, I think because he's rich and because he's the guy that's making things happen, you know what I mean? That he's the cause of all problems. But I just kind of want people to know that he is literally changing. He made electric EVs cool enough to buy, helping the environment. And he created Starlink, which is essentially giving the access to internet to everyone around the world. That is absolutely incredible. You know, despite what you might think about his Twitter or X profile appearances or whatever, I care about that less than how much change he's actually bringing into the world with all this stuff. So I always kind of have to give it up to Musk for actually doing the thing that we all claim that we really want and what's good for the world. And he seems to be doing it and knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of him at all, based on a lot of the, especially things he's said about trans people, among other things. Like, he's problematic in a lot of ways, but I give him the credit that is due for the innovation that he's created with Tesla, because it's not even about like he made EVs cool as much as it's like he was able to innovate battery technology that made EVs possible in a very large way. And the carbon footprint that he's reduced by being able to create these EVs and replacing
and reusing
gas
batteries,
cars.
Even for SpaceX, all that
huge.
Stuff.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying
really
that like,
huge.
The first, and I know it's a hybrid, but like the first EV kind of car that came into the market was the Prius, which was, you know, what, 15 years ago at this point, I don't even know, which is hybrid. Okay. It was like the opposite of cool. It still is the opposite of cool. You know what I mean? Now everyone kind of wants
a Tesla.
The
new Prius.
Least...
The new Prius is cool though. I do like the new ones. I'm a car person. So you just mentioned that.
No, I totally
but
get
I know
it.
What you mean. It
Tesla
had a reputation.
Is like, Tesla set the standard for what
well,
that
for sure.
Was.
That's totally what that is.
You know, sometimes I kind of play a game, especially here in California, where it's all cars, where I'll take a walk and I'll say like, okay, before I reach the next block, how many Teslas can I count? Yeah. Right. And it's kind of the only car that, usually, without a doubt, it takes me less than a minute and a half to count 10 Teslas. You know, I can't really do that with any other car, you know, it's full incredible. You got to keep reporting back about FSD because I'm so fascinated.
I will. And the last thing I'll just say, as somebody who owned an EV before this Tesla that was not a Tesla, this is why I think it's so incredible what he has done, because I had, it was a BMW i3, for those who are curious. And it was not on the Tesla infrastructure. It did not have the Tesla computer in it. It did not have the Tesla navigation, which in and of itself is its own thing. There are small incremental things about the Tesla that make the entire EV experience very better. Easy and turnkey. And it's echelons above where the rest of the market is, even it's, still.
It's like the Apple, it's like the iPhone of EVs, to be honest with you. It's just, it's beautiful. The inside, it's just, you know, the screen is really nice. It's got fun features. You know, it kind of makes fun of itself, you know, when they can do the like ludicrous mode and and the farting sound. Did you know the number one, did you know the number one like car owner, like brand of car that owned who converts to Tesla?
BMW, isn't it?
BMW owners. My dad was a BMW owner as well. So that's like the number.
Oh, that's right. Your dad was.
Nadine's mom, the same thing. So it's common. This is I think because you kind of want luxury mixed with like efficiency and bullshit and functionality that it goes over there. But anyway, this was all very fascinating. I'm sure people.
I know this turned into an EV podcast, and we've got other things to talk about. But
First off, my mom emailed me the other day with a gift suggestion for you,
and here are Zoe's notes.
Thank you. And she was like, "Get this for John." And I couldn't, in good conscience, get this for John without telling him. So instead, I texted him, being like, "My mom said I should get these for you," and they were Harry Potter
Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Sandals, because they were like a Birkenstock sandal, not a Croc, but I believe they were Crocs.
Oh, yes. They were Crocs, but made by the Crocs company, we should say,
So I sent this to John, and John wrote back, I already got these.
Yeah, I got them for Christmas. Yeah. Thanks anyway. Courtney, send me another pair if
so
you want.
Good job, mom. Good job on her, you know, whatever.
She knows me as well as my friends, and that really is what matters. I will say, I realized just as you were saying that, I actually have the full Crocs version of those. I do not have the Birkenstock looking ones. Would you like to buy me them? Up to you. But they are really cool. They're really.
Maybe
if you're a Harry
Tesla
Potter fan, check them out.
Should collab with Crocs. And it's like, you can only drive a Tesla.
In Crocs. Matching colored ones. I think people would like that maybe.
Your whole life might change.
My life might change right now. Who knows?
So the other night, John, during his cold, decided to send me a voice note, of which I was sitting next to Nadine, so she decided to get in on the response,
which I loved, by the way.
Voice note us back, and we had a good time. It was about JoJo Siwa. John was wondering, without judgment, if I had an opinion on JoJo Siwa, of which I stated my opinion on JoJo Siwa, which wasn't
controversial at all. No.
Wasn't controversial. It also wasn't passionate. You know, I like.
Right.
I kind of know her in that way. I've interviewed her before at People. Oh, okay. I just known her from the, you know,
industry.
Gay world, her coming out. I don't know her personally. I'm just saying, like, I wasn't a Dance Moms fan, but like, you know, she really came out and was like this bubbly, sparkly, like how I would call like sweet candy cane type of girl. Like when I interviewed her at People, maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, like the background in her house was, it looked like you were walking into like FAO Schwartz almost, like in a can, like it was just very like bubblegum and baba. And then quickly, so shortly after
that, brand at that time,
that was her brand. And then she kind of came out as, I think she's gay. I don't think she's bi. I don't think she's queer. I want to say that's she's true. Gay, but I might be misspeaking here, but she's queer. And that's when she cut her hair short. You know, she started doing.
She got rid of the bow.
She started doing a little bit sexier adult things. Now, granted, she has always been very young. And I think, how old is she now? I mean, how old is JoJo Siwa?
We need AI to tell us.
She's 20 years old.
God, that's even younger than I thought she was.
She's 20 years old. Right. Like, I was even talking to Nadine because Nadine was like, how old is she? I was like, she's still a kid. But, you know, during your
20s. I would have said 25.
When you're 20, she was born May 19th, 2003, which kills my soul. Kills my soul.
I guess that makes sense, though.
Just very sad that I'm 15 years older than this. I'm 50% older than her.
Oops.
That's how you, oops.
Whoopsies.
Oops.
Yep.
Oop. Thank you. But you sent me some interesting
I mean,
she's dressed up as like, I want to say she was dressed as like Gene Simmons from Kiss.
So like I looked into this. Okay. My, just so everybody knows, I voice memoed Darren. I was like,
this is also at like midnight. About
Joji? Yeah. By the way, it was like literally midnight. I'm laying in bed. Maybe 1 a.m. Like a horse.
Yes.
I was like, what are your thoughts about JoJo Siwa?
Yeah. Which,
you know, whatever. And, you know, Darren gave a response and I was like, okay, what the fuck is she doing? I was like, I didn't want to say something if you were like, you know, if you were,
I was like, maybe
you're friends with her. I don't even really know what's up. I didn't want to be offensive, but I was like, what is this? And I send Darren this screenshot. I don't know if anyone's seen it. It's on social media. It's on TikTok. She's dressed up, like Darren said, like as Gene, like like a Gene Simmons mode, like thing. Apparently, Darren, it's like countdown promotion to her new music video. Apparently, she
coming. Remember, I was like, she's doing these like weird teasy, like cheatery things on her Instagram that are very sexy. And I think it was like her new album. And I was like, does she sing? Like, I truly had no idea. No idea.
I had no idea either. I didn't really look into it anymore, but I'll just say this. The Gene Simmons of it all was just not really looking like it was a hit for her. And I wish her all the best. I'm not here to be mean, you know, like it's fun every once in a while to voice memo your bestie across the country and weigh in on what people look like in public.
Yeah, but, the hot take, you know, if you will, the hot take. But
yeah, but we wish JoJo Siwa all the best. There's no hate, but yeah, I don't know. That was a bit much.
Minute left. I have another gym complaint. I walked into the gym. This is a guy.
Gladly, one last minute.
He's doing something in the gym, and there's just a full fucking camera, not an iPhone camera, a full camera with like one of those like mini boom mics. And I came back to Nadine and I was like, it's annoying because like, I don't want to be in it, right? Like, I don't want to be filmed when I'm gymming. I want to just fucking gym. And like,
did you say when you're
sweat
gymming?
It out when I'm gymming? I don't want to like be in somebody's like music video. You know what I mean? And so Nadine was like, you should come downstairs and complain. She was like, you should. It's LA. It's not my gym. It's fucking LA.
Oh, true.
You know, and I'm like, should I complain? Or I just feel like I'm being that nosy neighbor that it's like, is this that big of a deal? But then I'm like, no, I pay enough that I need to be fucking comfortable in my gym.
The front desk should put a sign that says this. Please be respectful of other people in the gym. If you are recording, even though they're not allowed, if you do record, please be mindful that not everybody wants to be in your video. And that should be enough. You know,
it says wipe down the equipment after use. And no one except me does this. No one.
Yeah.
Everyone is disgusting.
That's disgusting. I might say something. I take note of that when I'm at the gym because I usually go to Planet Fitness. And if people aren't doing it, I make sure to say something, although it's usually pretty much
respected. It's always the sweatiest men too. And I'm like, it's just incredible to me, like how they're not even thinking about it. But anyway, I digress.
All right, guys. Well, this was a long one. I was going to play AI, but I'm using my phone for something else at the moment. But Darren, sorry to trick you at the front. I know we don't ever like to prank each other.
April
but I
Fool's?
Think it was worth it. Yeah, I know. A little bit of a late April Fool's. All right, we're going to go record our Sunday episode. And make sure you're subscribing to us on YouTube. And check us out on Patreon when you get a moment. All right, see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.